Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I'm so glad you all get to be here this morning for Venerable George Chernoff. He is quite amazing. He's been teaching this weekend on the Jataka Tales, which are stories about previous lives of the Buddha. And, you know, we can it's very easy to think kind of superficially that they're a little bit like the fables and, you know, there's a moral lesson in there, but it's not so, you know, but he's been pretty amazing because he'll get a few sentences into it and then he'll stop and say, now this that happened here has all these levels of complexity and meaning that you might not see on the surface. So it's been really quite wonderful. And he's going to tell a Jataka tale for the children this morning, and he's going to continue with the workshop on Jataka Tales this afternoon, so you're welcome to stay for that if you want to. He'll also be teaching on Monday nights, tomorrow night and next week on he'll be teaching the Discovering Buddhism module on death and rebirth. On Wednesdays, he's going to be teaching on the Four Noble Truths, which was the Buddha's first teaching, and relating that to the 12 links of dependent origination, or what keeps us in samsara. So that'll also be very interesting. Thursday night of this week, he's going to attend our Guru Puja with Tsog. And Thursday night of next week, he's going to do a little session on translating the Dharma from Tibetan into English using the Heart Sutra as his text. And again, even if you're not interested in translations, you might find this an interesting session to come to, because using the Heart Sutra as his text, it will also be a teaching where he's going to, you know, he'll be stopping and talking about what this word means and what the choice of word in English should be. So I think it'll be a really great way to get a deeper understanding of the Buddha's seminal teaching on emptiness. So you might be interested in that, and that'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday of next week. And then his final sessions will be a weekend workshop on Sutta Mahamudra, which is a fancy way of saying a method of meditating on emptiness. So you might find that interesting. We want to thank our sponsors and donors. Most of you know that Kadampa Center, although we're a member of a larger organization, we don't receive money from that organization. Predecessors of me made a very brave decision some 20, 25 years ago to offer every Dharma-related event at the center without asking for a specified entry fee to attend, because these teachings are so precious and so important. We don't ever want money to be an obstacle for anybody to hear them. But we do still live in samsara. We do still have, yay, we don't have a mortgage anymore, but we still have utilities and other expenses. So it's very helpful if we have your support. And that support also benefits you, because everything we do creates the cause for something to receive something similar in the future. And so supporting the teachings is creating for the donor the cause to hear teachings again in the future and continue your spiritual progress. So it's really quite wonderful. You can still sponsor. So please, there's a donation box right outside the Gampa door. You can make donations in the bookstore and online. When Geshe Gelug comes, when the teacher comes in, we'll prostrate, and Venerable George is taking the same departure from tradition that Geshe Gelug does and requests that we prostrate with him. What else do we have? There's no newcomer Q&A today, but we will have one next week after the teachings. If you can volunteer for any of the events, we need people. If you're attending, we need folks to help set up the water offering bowls and take them down. And with no further ado, he's here.
So. Good morning. Maybe you usually do certain prayers with Geshe-la. If you would be willing to lead in an abbreviated version, and then we'll spend some time in meditation, and I'd like to read a Jataka tale, which might be of interest to some of the younger members. I don't know, maybe.
So if you'll turn to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book, Let's do the Shakyamuni Buddha Mantra, the Four Immeasurables, one time in English, and then Chenrai Zig's Mantra, eight times, and Green Tara's Mantra, seven times. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friend and hatred for enemies. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. 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 Now this is usually the point when we dismiss the children, but we're going to have them stay this morning because Venerable George is going to tell a story for them.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought you said you were going to do the medicine Buddha. Oh no, I just said this medicine.
Oh, did I say?
No, I out of my mind. So good morning, guys. There's some more of the younger variety within. Are there any younger students back there also? Oh, okay. So, my name is Monk George. You might think, oh, this doesn't sound like Tibetan name. I have Tibetan name. Bhikshu, I would say, Gelong Tupten Sultrim. Can you say that? Okay, so that's why people just call it, I'll call you Monk George. It's easier. So I've a longtime friend of the center from many generations before, in the different locations of the center. So it's so nice to be here again. I've been here with you a couple times since the center has been here. And this time, at the first part of my visit, this weekend, I've been teaching about some stories called the Jataka Tales. Have you ever heard of the Jataka Tales, you guys? Some have. How many people have? I'm saying less. Okay. So most people have not. So the Jataka Tales are actually teachings that the Buddha gave, Shakyamuni Buddha, about the times before he became Buddha, when he was on the Bodhisattva path. Sometimes in the story it says the Bodhisattva, referring to his previous life when he was very, very kind and very wise, but not yet fully enlightened, not yet a Buddha. And the sort of connection with Kadampa Center is that Atisha, the statue, you know, is of Atisha. Did you know that? You know? Really? Okay, I was surprised. Atisha's followers were called the Kadampas. Ka is a word, a very nice word for talking about speech. We say honorific word for speech, like the speech of the Buddha. The collection of the Buddha's teachings are called the Kangyur. The gyur means translation, translation of the holy speech of the Buddha. The Kadampas were those who were bound. Dham means bound by the speech, like they followed the words of the Buddha. So one of the texts that they studied was a text called the Jatakamala, which happens to have been translated into English, very beautiful. And I'm going to, one of the texts they studied, there were six main texts that they studied, and one of them was about, oh, sorry, my glasses were, one of them was about these life stories of the Buddha. They're very inspiring. In the last year, I finished a retreat in my cabin in North Carolina here, in the western side, which I understand the politicians in Raleigh consider Yancey County near me is sort of like the carbuncle on the face of North Carolina. It's sort of more liberal. Here I think it's a more liberal area, but I think some of the politicians, you know, they're more conservative. I finished a 3-year retreat, and during that 3-year retreat, one of the things I did is again and again meditated on these stories because they're very inspiring. Okay? So I thought maybe there's a couple that I might mention right now. One is called The Partridge's Virtue. Do you know what a partridge is? You know what a
was? Something you put in a printer.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Because they both begin with T, right? A printer partridge, or a partridge in a pear tree. That partridge, not the printer partridge. Okay. That's good. I like that. I have to remember that. Printer partridge. So if you were to ever find this book in the library, this one is called, well, this is another one. This is called Leaves of the Heaven Tree. This is another collection of Jataka tales besides the Jataka Mala that I've also been reading from. Very nice name, Leaves of the Heaven Tree. It's not an English translation of the title of the text originally, but it just has a nice childlike flavor to it. Okay, so I'm going to read you this, okay? You ready? So don't think of this as a bedtime story. Don't you'll fall asleep at the end. Oh, you can if you want. The Partridge's Power of Virtue. A teaching on the perfection of moral practice. There's always a little aphorism at the beginning, the kind of prelude that tells a little bit about it. The wise who learn the Dharma as they grow older are held in reverence even by their respected friends, and those who honor them increase their own greatness. By flying, their friend rose in unbounded wisdom while they remain below. The venerable pass beyond this world, they also pass from sorrow. Okay, maybe you don't understand what that means. So this is a story about some friends, and you may have a picture of this. Sorry, do you have a picture of the friends, the elephants and the...
Yes.
Down in the hall? So you can look at this later if you haven't. Do you know the one that we're talking about? Is it outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a story of that. Maybe you've heard before. The meaning of this is as follows. The Buddha, who is also called the Bhagavan, made it clear that in conducting themselves according to the Dharma, it was best for the monks to respect their elders. giving deference and respect to the older monks, the young always make way for their elders. Is those words too big? Do you understand what they're saying? So, generally, amongst the monks and nuns of the Buddha, the people who are considered elder are the ones who took their vows, their ordinations, earlier. Interestingly, when I was in Tibet in the late 80s, when Lama Zopa and others went, I had the chance to attend the bi-monthly confession of the monks when the Panchen Lama was teaching in Shigetse. There were lots and lots of monks, and we were trying to sit according to our, you know, who was ordained first, you know, down the line. So I was I'm older now, 88 maybe it was, I was 25 years younger, but there was one old monk who came up to me and asked when I was ordained, and I told him, and he said, oh, you're my senior. He was like 20 years older than I. So he's still, even though in earth age he was older, In terms of how many years he's been a monk, he was younger. So long ago in Varanasi, a king called Brahmadatta, maybe you could translate that as the giver of Brahma or giving of goodness, he ruled with fairness to all, applying the Dharma even more conscientiously to all his actions. So he ruled his people according to Buddhism, the Dharma, but even in his own behavior, he was even more careful. Now, four friends lived at the edge of the forest, a partridge, not a cartridge, a partridge, a rabbit, what else? A monkey, and an elephant. Okay. By the power of their merit, their good actions that they'd done in the past, they all understood the wisdom of showing respect to their elders, of deferring to their elders. Do you guys respect your parents, your elders, yeah, in general? Are there some kids in school who don't necessarily? Sometimes you need something like that. Let us determine which of us is the eldest and which of us is the youngest. Which of us is younger? On the banks of the Nyagroda River, some river, there grew an ancient tree with old tattered leaves. The elephant said, I remember that tree when its leaves were new, and the tree itself reached only to my shoulder. The monkey said, I remember when the tree was small, only as high as I am. So who's older between the elephant and the
monkey?
Where?
Monkey.
Why?
Because they were alive when the tree was small.
Yeah, because the monkey, the monkey is only, oh wait, that was a rabbit, right? Interesting. The elephant said, I remember that tree when its leaves were new and the tree was only reached to my shoulder. The monkey said, I remember that tree was small, only as high as I am. So the monkey maybe is this tall. So he remembered it that way. But the elephant only remembered it maybe later. So he was younger compared to the monkey, right? The rabbit said, I remember the tree when it only had two leaves. So it's even smaller. So he was older. Elder, and I was so attached to nibbling on its sweet shoots. The partridge said, I ate the fruit of a similar tree that was lying on the ground, and this tree grew from the seed that passed through me. You get that? Yeah, we won't say how it passed to him, but in such a way they decided on which was older and which of them younger, and they paid respect, deference accordingly. The partridge then instructed them on abstaining from killing, stealing, bad sexual conduct, lying, eating fermented fruit. Do you know what that means, fermented? When the fruit becomes alcohol? And so forth. So it didn't say exactly here. So which one, if they were to stand on one another's back, who would be on the bottom? They'd be the youngest one, right? Yeah. Fortunately, he was the youngest. If he had to sit on someone, then who was on his shoulder?
The monkey.
The monkey.
The rabbit,
and then the partridge, right? Or the bird, whatever. The four friends conducted themselves accordingly, guarding the precepts. By the power of their virtue, rain fell in a timely manner. In other words, it wasn't like crazy, a lot of rain and some time, and then no rain at all for a lot of time. The earth and the crops were bountiful, and in all directions the land enjoyed happiness and prosperity. At that time, King Brahmadatta prided himself with the thought, the prosperity of the land is due to the power of my merit. He's maybe a little bit proud. As he was bursting with pride, a sage, a wise person possessing the power of knowing everything, said to him, this good fortune is not due to the king's power. Living in the forest are four friends, a monkey, an elephant, a rabbit, and a partridge. They conduct themselves according to the Dharma and revere their elders. They give respect to their elders. The prosperity of the land has come about through the power of their merit. Wow. So, hearing this, all were amazed, and the king, the queen, the ministers, and many other people of the city went to the forest to see these four friends. Seeing them, they all felt great faith and understood the wisdom of honoring their elders. Now, this is a Buddha telling the story, right? Did you know that? This is a Buddha telling the story. So he said, I, Shakyamuni, was the partridge at that time. Did you know that? Have you heard that, sir?
I remember another, story with, the bird and the, wildfire.
Oh, okay. That's another one. Yeah, there's some other stories with birds and things. So at that time, I was the partridge. Shariputra was the rabbit. Maudgalyana was the monkey. And the elephant was Ananda. So do you know who Shariputra is? Do you guys? So on the beautiful painting of Buddha up there, And the one, even the other one where he's blue, but the one that's kind of like Shakyamuni, see the two men that are sitting below him, standing up? Those are his two main students, disciples, we say. If you look to, as we look at it, on the left, or to the Buddha's, on the Buddha's right hand, is Shariputra, and the other monk is Maudgalyana. They were friends when they were like your age, the kid. Well, your age too. They lived a long time. I was thinking of the kids, and they made a promise. They said, there were two of them, two buddies, and they said, we want to reach, spiritual perfection. Whoever first finds the path has to come up and find me, to find the other one, and we will continue together, because they always were friends, and so. When one of them, Shariputra, heard about the Buddha, he met a very wise man on the path who looked so glorious. It wasn't the Buddha, it was one of Buddha's first disciples named Asvajit. And he asked him about, are you the Buddha? He said, no. Would you give some of the teachings of the Buddha? He said, I can't. And they said, come on, give me something. And he recited a verse to Shariputra, which inspired him. And Shariputra got his friend Maudgalyana, and they went to be disciples of the Buddha, and they became the most important disciples. So, which one now is it? So the partridge was the Buddha. Shariputra and right there, and on our left was the rabbit. So he was elder, then Magulayana was the monkey. So it's interesting because at that time of the Buddha, Shariputra was a little bit elder. He'd met the teachings first, you know, like in terms of which had met the teachings first. And Ananda, you know who Ananda was? Anyone? Do you guys know? Do you know who Ananda was? Everyone's pointing somewhere. Yeah, right. Right. But I meant in the time of the Buddha, who was... Ananda was the helper of the Buddha, the attendant. Does Geshe-la have an attendant? Maybe Geshe Sangbo helps sometime?
Yes.
Yeah. So sort of like Geshe Sangbo. So that's called... I like this story. So now you know a little bit about that picture. You can tell some other kids about that. How's your mind? You still have some energy? You bored? You want to go? Yeah, you want to stay or go? Can I read another story? What was the one I wanted to teach you? Yeah. This one is called... This might be a little bit scary. I'm not sure. The hare. Do you know what a hare is?
Yeah.
Don't go here. That sounds the same. It's kind of a rabbit, right? Is the hare the same as a rabbit?
No.
So what's the difference between a hare and a rabbit? It's kind of the same, right? Does a hare have horns?
No.
See that thing? That thing, right?
Hare's bigger, faster,
and has horns. And has horns?
No.
Does a rabbit, hares don't have horns, but in the morning, if you're looking out your window, you haven't had your Ovaltine or whatever yet, you're looking out and you see in the morning fog a rabbit or hare out there, its ear, you might mistake its ears to be horns. So that's an example in the Buddha's teachings. We say that doesn't exist. The self doesn't exist, just like the horns of a rabbit. It appears like there's something there, but if you really look closely, it's not really the way it appears. So that's the interesting thing to know. The horns of a rabbit is an example that's given sometimes in the teachings. So this one is called a hare. Are you guys easily scared?
No.
No? Okay. I'll tell you this one.
Yes.
Oh, you? Some of the kids are. So where did I say this was? The hare is in number 6 in the Jatakamala. Here, page 42. Okay. I have to have my glasses on here. I got sick this last year. I got bitten by a deer tick. And I got something called Lyme disease. Did any of you ever get Lyme disease? I hope you never get. You? Oh, you got it. Okay, we're in the same book. And I still have a little bit of diplopia. You know what that means? Double vision. Like there's, you're two sisters, right? Oh, there's just one of you. Okay. I thought there was, no, I'm joking. So this book is very nice because it has line drawings. I don't know if you can see from there, but there's a rabbit, a hare, and then some animals on the ground and a monk. So, this goes like this. If even in lives as beasts, you know what a beast is?
Yeah.
What is a beast?
Like a monster.
Can't be like a monster, but sometimes we...
Could be a big animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes in old times, they just referred to all non-humans as beasts, like beasts of burden. You'd like a donkey, you'd put the... Was it? Beasties? Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
If even in lives as animals or beasts, the great-minded have been known to practice charity, who then, being human, should not be charitable? Did you ever see animals being kind to one another? Yeah? What did you say? She nodded, yeah? Do you speak? No? You don't see? You just use sign language? Okay. In the middle of the forest was a clearing once frequented by ascetics. That means people who were retreating away from the world. Who's the famous ascetic in America? Who is it that...
Thomas Burton?
Well, maybe Thomas Burton, but I was thinking Walden Pond, what was his name? Thoreau, things like that. So in the middle of the forest was a clearing once frequented by ascetics. There the earth was carpeted with soft green grass. Rich soil put forth flowers and fruits in lush profusion, and trees and greenery of all sorts abounded. Bordering this lovely spot was a sparkling river as blue as lapis lazuli. Do you know lapis lazuli? You do? What is it?
It's like a rock.
It's kind of rock, stone. Sometimes usually because it's precious, they sometimes it's polished. You'll find it in jewelry. Very nice dark blue. Sometime the medicine Buddha, that's the medicine Buddha, right? The Tanka next to Shakyamuni, to the left. So the color, what's the color of his body? Supposed to be the color of lapis lazuli. In the names of the medicine Buddha, we say you who lapis, the color of lapis lazuli. So the river was as blue as lapis lazuli. The rivers around here may be more green, brown or something. In this forest, the bodhisattva lived as a hare. So the bodhisattva means previous life of the Buddha. He not yet reached the top, but he was still training as helping people. And even when he was born as an animal, he had these incredible noble instincts. Noble qualities. He lived as a hare, an animal that shone with such goodness, such vigor, such strength and beauty, that all other animals in the forest looked to him as their king, none fearing him, none causing him fear. Did you ever hear of a Christian man named Saint Francis? Do you ever hear of Francis?
I think he's the Pope.
Francis is the Pope, but I don't know. I don't think he's a saint yet. You know, he doesn't have that name. Saint Francis of Assisi is a place in Italy, and he was very, very kind, very good-hearted. And when he went out, animals were not afraid. They would come. Generally, if we'd go out to the cannibals or run away, afraid that we might hurt them, because of his kind actions, he just had that kind of feeling about him that you wouldn't fear him. So that sometimes the pictures showing him feeding the deer and other things. Right? So they looked on him as their king, none fearing him, none causing him fear. Satisfying his needs by simple blades of grass, wearing his own fur for his ascetic's garments, he glowed like a great being. Everything he thought, everything he spoke, everything he did was motivated by friendliness, so pure and simple that those beasts, usually given to wickedness, became his students and friends. You know, the other animals that might generally be naughty, you know, like they bite other animals or hurt them or something, even they became his friends. Among his devoted following, three in particular were attracted by the love and respect which his eminent qualities inspired, and they grew to be his constant companions. So they're here. Okay, see that? Did you guys see? Down at the bottom. So one looks like it's a monkey, right? I'm not sure. Can you tell what the what this one is?
Badger.
Maybe a badger, but he's eating fish. Do badgers eat fish?
Oh, an otter.
An otter, right. I think that's what the book says. And then this one, maybe not so clear, almost looks like a fox or something. This one's supposed to be a jackal. Do we have jackals?
Yeah.
In sometimes in Africa. An otter, a jackal, and a monkey. These three love the hare as if they were, as if he were their kin, their relative, their brother. Their mutual bond of respect, binding them together in joy. It's interesting. Sometimes we have friends, we love them as much as our brothers and sisters, our parents. Do you guys have friends from school like that? Anyone really close? Sometimes, yeah. They spent all their days with him. So the three friends and the hare. Soon forgetting their lower natures, their, you know, their sort of animal natures, and compassion for all creatures flowed from their hearts. They became compassionate because of being with the hare. So that's a good example for us. Sometimes if you behave well, even if the people who follow you or hang around you or your friends are a little bit naughty, they can change. They can become better. So that's a good reason for us to become good-hearted. Greed no longer tempted them. They forgot how to steal. They forgot how to steal. That'd be good, huh? Could you make a little bit of like a motivation to forget how to be naughty? Okay. They forgot how to steal, and their lives began to conform closely to the Dharma. Their minds became disciplined, clear and strong. How remarkable to hear of a human being who chooses the path of virtue between the two. Actions which accord with pleasure but go against virtue, or action which is in harmony with virtue but is not with pleasure. So most people will, if chosen whether to be good or naughty, you know, maybe they'll tend toward the naughty side. But imagine how astonishing it was to hear of four beasts, animals, who had made such a choice. Their fame spread quickly, especially word of the being in the shape of a hare, whose compassion for others was unexcelled, his highest. His renown traveled even to the realm of the gods. One evening, the monkey, the jackal, and the otter were sitting at the feet of the hare, in respect and reverence, eagerly waiting for him to teach the Dharma. The moon was almost full, a silver mirror without a handle, and its bright beauty prompted the hare to talk to his friends. So what does it mean, the moon, a silver mirror without a handle? That makes sense, does it?
Yeah.
You know, like some mirrors you hold up, I mean, you might have in the bathroom or in the living room some mirror, but sometimes mirrors have a handle. So it just looked like a mirror in the sky without a handle. So he said to his friends, "Look, the moon tonight has a laughing face, almost fully round, reminding us that tomorrow is the 15th, the holy day." What does that mean, the 15th? Do you guys know? Yeah. But if you put your hand up, you got to answer. You just said, oh, you...
It's in my arm.
Oh, it's just running down.
I'm guessing it's the full moon is the halfway through the lunar cycle.
Right. And in, interestingly, we do, in Buddhism, generally, when people in different cultures, even today in Thailand, Tibet, and other countries, when people take the 24-hour precepts, have you ever taken 24-hour precepts? Do you know what those are? For 24 hours, you keep the vows. The best time to take is on the 15th and the 30th. 30th would be what? If the 15th is full moon?
New moon.
New moon. Or in other ways, no moon. I always say, oh, you mispronounced. It's not new moon, it's no moon. Joking. You know why those are best days to take? Do you know, Donna? why they take the vows particularly on those that that's considered holy day? Have you ever heard of the word lunatic?
Yeah.
Or what was the cartoons called? Looney Tunes? What does it mean to be loony?
Crazy.
A bit crazy, right? Actually, without a lot of connection with other people, if you're just out in the wilderness, you will naturally be a little more loony on full moon and new moon. In the monasteries, you know, when the monks would debate, many times they'd be very courteous most of the time. But the lamas, even if they weren't looking at the calendar, they know it must be coming new moon because the monks are fighting or angry or very attached to their opinion or something like that. So on those times, if you can control the mind when the mind wants to be loony, you get more benefit, more merit. Like if you swim with the current, is that easy or hard? That's easy, right? What if you swim against the current? Harder, right? So, and times when the mind tends to be more loony anyway, uncontrolled, if you take precepts, you generate more merit. So that's kind of the reason that's the considered holy days. Actually, in certain ways, it's like it's interesting. For the worldly point of view, it's like bad days when people are kind of crazy. But from the Dharma point of view, for a Dharma practitioner, it's the best day to practice because you get more exercise of your merit. Look, the moon tonight has a laughing face, almost fully rounded, reminding us that tomorrow is the 15th, a holy day. We must not forget to perform all the duties prescribed for that day. Above all, we must not even begin to think of the needs of our own bodies before we have honored a guest with good food obtained in the right manner. So that means not, right manner means not stolen, not cheated, you know, not hurt in some way. Remember, life is as unstable and fickle as a flash of lightning. Maybe we would use those words may not be the best translation. So, you know what, have you ever seen a flash of lightning? You know, it's just it's there, it's gone. I remember once when I was teaching in Connecticut one time, and a friend of mine and I were playing Frisbee, you know, that thing you toss. And it was getting darker and darker. It was rain clouds coming. It was completely dark. It was, oh, okay, you have to give up. And then there was a flash of lightning. Everything for an instant. I was like, oh, I can see you. You know, and then disappeared. Right? And then it was dark again. So fleeting or impermanent or momentary, life is like that. Right now, seems like most of us, is there anyone as old as I am here? Anyone older than 74? Okay, my elders. Otherwise, most of us, even we're at our age, we would think, yeah, we still got lots of time left for it. You think, but life goes very quickly. That's what he's saying. Remember, life is as unstable and fickle as a flash of lightning. Even the lives of those who have gained the highest rank will end in destruction. You know, they will have to die. Every union ends in separation. Every meeting, you know, you meet your friends, eventually you have to separate. Be mindful, therefore, and guard against carelessness. Endeavor, be very strong to increase your merit by acts of giving, ornamented by good conduct. For meritorious actions are the strongest support for beings caught in the world. The brilliance of the moon outshines the glowing of the stars, yet the sun's rays outshines them all. Such is the power and beauty of merit. So it's very important to be good, is what I'm saying. This is what the hare was telling his three friends. He was kind of like their teacher. So it is that the mighty kings, through the power of their merit, can hold in check the most presumptuous officials, the ones who are very arrogant. Because the king, if the king or queen is very good, they have a lot of merit, by the power of their merit, they can control others in a good way. They control the most presumptuous officials and the most arrogant princes, causing them to obey their commands willingly, like the finest of horses. Leaders who scorn the path of virtue, who say, I'm not going to be virtuous. I'm not going to mention any names. Leaders who scorn the path of virtue are foolish, for no matter how wise they may be in the ways of politics, they are sure to be hounded by misfortune and wrath all their days. Therefore, avoid the path of wrongdoing, which brings about only suffering and dishonor. Fix your mind on every opportunity for gathering merit, for merit is the true source and means of happiness. So the three students thank the hare for his teaching, and they bowed to him with respect. After circumambulating him, they went off to their respective homes. You know what that means, circumambulate? Do you ever see an animal? Animals ever do that?
When they're stalking. What? When they're stalking about to kill.
About to kill. Yeah, no, that's not that one. So sometimes out of respect, we walk around someone that we respect is a sign of our respect for them. That's called... Do you ever circumambulate the stupa?
Yes. Yeah?
The same kind of thing. So circumambulating this person as though they're so holy. So once alone, the hare began to reflect on his own situation. My three friends have ample means to honor anyone who might chance to visit tomorrow. They have plenty of ways they can help. But my situation is pitiful. The blades of grass I cut off with my teeth are far too bitter for any guest. Because the rabbit was very humble, only ate little pieces of grass. Alas. You know, wow. Gee, how helpless I am. What use is life to me when a guest who ought to be the cause for joy can only be the cause for sorrow? How could because it come cause of sorrow? The guest comes and the hare won't have anything to give him or her. How can my worthless body, which cannot even bring satisfaction to a guest, ever be of use to anyone? Then the hare found his answer. Ah, wonderful. It is, after all, within my power to provide for a guest. I can use my own body. It does not belong to anyone else, and I will not harm any other by offering it. My very body can be food for my guests. Now I can truly rejoice. As delighted as if he had been granted a great boon, great, you know, promise, the hare waited for morning. When I first met Lama Sopa Rinpoche. Many of you know Lama Sopa Rinpoche?
Yes.
Have you seen? You've seen? Oh, and it was like maybe 40 years ago. Rinpoche would be in his room meditating. If you would come in unannounced, you would see the screen. You know, you usually have screens to keep out the flies and mosquitoes. Screen was open, and Rinpoche's arm would be out, and all of these mosquitoes on his arm. He was giving his own blood to the mosquitoes. Generally, if a mosquito comes to you, or to me, not to you, I don't know, you may be like Bodhisattva, I don't know. A mosquito comes to me, I was, you know, go somewhere else. You know, yeah, right. You don't want to kill them, but you want to get them off because they hurt when they, you know what a mosquito sting feels like, right? Or bee sting. So Rinpoche Lama Zopa was consciously, like the Bodhisattva, practicing. Right now we can't do that. We can't, it's not the right time to give our own body. You know, it would be absolutely wrong for us to try to give our body or our flesh or someone, something like that to others. But when one reaches a very high level, it's possible. And we can begin now to practice that by giving vegetables or food to those who want. In the text that some of your parents may have read, I don't know if you guys have ever read the Bodhisattva Charyavatara, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Shanti Deva says, the Lord, meaning the Buddha, first taught us to give vegetables and so forth. Later we can give our own bodies, but not now. But the hare is at that level. Can you imagine? He's thinking he's going to maybe offer his own body somehow. At this sublime thought which arose in the great being's mind, all the powers of earth and sky rang in exultation. That's a word you hear in church, right? Exultation. The earth shook her mountains with joy. The ocean shook its waves like a garment. Heavenly drums resounded in the sky, and the horizon glowed with a soft sheen. Clouds flushed with lightning, peals, soft thunder, and rained down a myriad of flowers. The god of wind blew the fragrant pollen of flowering trees into gossamer veils of ever-shifting patterns and gatherings of offerings. Those are big words. This is like really incredible things happening. Right? The astonishing resolution of the hare produced such a jubilant celebration amongst the gods that Chakra, lord of the gods, grew curious and decided to see for himself if the hare's resolve was real. Do you know what that means, resolve? He was kind of like he made a firm promise, or like, what do you say, resolution. Do you ever make New Year's resolution? So the same word, resolve, resolution. Rosa wanted to see if the hare was really going to do this. The next day, exactly at noon, when the sun casts down its strongest beams, when a net of shimmering light hangs on the horizon, when the sun glows with radiant intensity and is unbearable to look at, when shadows contract and birds hide, when the woods echo with the shrill sound of cadadas, a time when the travelers are oppressed with heat and fatigue, it was then the Chakra, lord of the gods, taking the shape of an old Brahmin. You know the, in India, you know who the Brahmins were? Was it?
Is it a Brahmin, a cow?
The Brahmins, they had special worship of the cows. But the cow is not considered the Brahmin. Brahmins were the priestly class in India, sort of like they considered themselves the highest caste. They read the holy scriptures and so forth. Not the Buddhist scriptures. They were before the Buddha and afterwards. So this god took the shape of an old Brahmin, appeared at a spot not far from the dwelling of the four friends. Remember the four friends? Weeping and wailing, he perfectly imitated the sounds of the man who had lost his way, a weary traveler worn down by hunger and thirst, distress and sorrow. "Please won't somebody help me? Please help me," he cried. "My companions are gone. I've lost my way. I'm wandering through this dark forest alone." Almost like, what was that day the other day? 3 days ago? What's that called? Halloween? Like if you were to hear someone say, "Oh, no one's giving me candy. Please help." So like that. "I have completely lost all sense of direction. I cannot tell the right way from wrong. I'm suffering from heat, from thirst, exhaustion. Who will help me?" The great beings, alarmed by such pitiful, heart-rending sounds, ran quickly in the direction of the cries. As soon as they came upon the lost and miserable traveler, they approached him respectfully and spoke these words of comfort. "Do not be distressed, thinking that you are lost. Don't worry that you are lost in the wilderness. We are your friends and care as much for your safety as we would for any of your followers. Please, gentle sir, grant us the favor of accepting our service, and tomorrow go on your way. Right now, we're going to take care of you." It's part of the culture, the tradition of many religions and good people around the world when a guest come to take care of them. Did you know that? And certainly in Buddhism, we feel also the same way. The traveler was silent. It's really the king, really Chakra, the god. So the otter, taking this to mean acceptance, ran off joyfully, returning in no time with 7 fish. As he offered them to the guests, because otters catch fish, right? "I found these 7 fish lying on the ground motionless as if asleep. Either they were left there by some forgetful fisherman, or they jumped on the shore out of fright. In any case, they are yours. Please eat them and take your ease. So the otter was able to give this person some food. The jackal also brought what food he had available. Bowing with reverence, he said, "Here, traveler, is a lizard and a jar of sour milk." That doesn't sound very good, right? If someone gave you a jar of sour milk, doesn't sound, well, maybe it's like yogurt, kind of, maybe. Left in the forest by someone unknown, "Grant me the favor of watching you enjoy this food and then rest here overnight, O virtuous one." With much love in his heart, he handed the offerings to the Brahmin. So that was from the jackal. So the otter and the jackal gave. Then the monkey drew near, bringing soft, ripe mangoes, perfectly round and of an orange hue, orange color, so deep they might have been dyed. You know what? If you get do you ever get mango? Best ones are green, right? I learned this in Italy. You don't move your hand; it's just the finger. Your mother says no more milk. You know, right. That's it. You have to learn that one. So, mangoes, when they're right on the tree, before they've ripened, they're green. And if you eat that, it's like pretty sour. If you let it sit, or if you pick and let it stay on the tree long enough, it becomes orangish. And that's when they're really delicious. So this was an orange hue, orange color, so deep they might have been colored. Joining his palms in reference, like when I came in, you've learned from Geshe-la and others, you put your hands at your heart, sign of respect. So joining his palms in reverence, the monkey said, "I have ripe mangoes for you, round and soft, refreshing as shadows." Are shadows refreshing? Well, when it's hot, right? "Refreshing as shadows. Refreshing as the pleasure of good company. O great one who knows the Brahman, enjoy them and stay here this night." So he gave him food. Now, the only one that's left is the hare, right? He's got little pieces of grass to give. Finally, the hare approached and upon paying his respects said, "I am but a hare who has grown up in the forest. I have no beans, no sesame seeds, no grains of rice to offer. I have no Cheerios, what's your favorite cereal these days?
What? Mini wheats.
I have no mini wheats. On the auspicious day, a mendicant visits." You know what a mendicant is? You don't know?
A beggar.
"On the auspicious day, a mendicant visits. One should provide such a fine guest with whatever will benefit him. My wealth is limited to my body. Take it then. It is all I possess. Please prepare it on the fire and feast upon it and then stay overnight in our hermitage." Gosh. It's not something we can do now. Next time someone comes begging at your house, don't say, "Take me." It's not the right time. Maybe you can give some wheat, what do you call it, wheat bits?
Mini wheats.
Chakra replied, "How could someone as I kill any living being, most especially a being such as you who has shown me such hospitality?" The hare replied, "It is clear you are a Brahmin inclined to compassion. You must at least grant me the honor of resting here tonight. In the meantime, I will find some way of helping you." So at first Chakra says, I wouldn't eat your body, that's too much. Then Chakra, Lord of the Gods, understanding the hare's unspoken intention. So he didn't say this, he didn't speak this, but the Chakra understood that he was going to still give himself, even though he didn't say that. Chakra, Lord of the Gods, understanding the hare's unspoken intention, conjured up a heap of burning charcoal. It's blazing, hot, and smokeless fire, the color of pure gold, sent thin flames and sparks in all directions. Do you ever have barbecue
Mom and Dad make barbecue? Yeah. So it doesn't put out, until you put something on it, it doesn't put out much smoke, right? And it becomes a nice glow. It depends on the quality of your charcoal, I suppose. The hare, who had been looking everywhere for such a means to work his intentions, rejoiced upon seeing the fire and said to Shakra, "Here is the means to show you my goodwill. Now fulfill my hopes and enjoy my flesh and enjoy my body." I think in Germany, do you know what if you go to the market, there's a meat market. You know what they call, what the word for meat is in German?
Fleisch. Yes.
Fleisch. It's sort of like, for us, if you think that, meat sounds, because the way we use it, it doesn't sound so personal. But if you say, "I'm going to go buy some flesh," you might think you might want to become vegetarian, because it's more intimate, right? "Now fulfill my hopes and enjoy my flesh. You must see, great Brahman, that I am absorbed in the thought of giving." This hare was actually the previous life of Buddha, when he was very holy being. He had come back to earth as an animal to help others. "In you I have found a worthy guest, and my heart will have it no other way. Such an opportunity for giving is not easily obtained. Do not let my giving be wasted. It depends on you. Without you, who is going to take it, I can't give." After thus showing honor and respect to his guest, the hare threw himself into the fire like a poor man who suddenly spies a gleaming treasure. Oh, if you read the Lan Rim, when we talk about the value of the perfect human rebirth, we talk about, you know, like a poor person who suddenly found a treasure, you know, or here it says goose, but what's the white swan? Like a swan diving into a lotus-covered pond. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Like, in the hot day, the swan is hot, and the dive into the cool water of the lotus pond is a great joy. You know, like, and a treasure, like a poor person having found a treasure. So he did it with that much pleasure. He wasn't like hesitant, like, he dove in. After thus showing honor and respect for his guest, the hare threw himself in the fire. The Lord of the gods watched in great wonder as celestial flowers rained down from the sky and came to rest where the hare had been. Sort of like a symbol, you know, some kind of good sign. We say auspicious omen. Shakra then resumed his own form. He no longer appeared as the Brahman, but the glorious god, so much light coming out of his body. And praised the hare with suitable and melodious words. Then with his delicate hands glowing like petals of a white lotus, his fingers resplendent like jewels, Shakra lifted the hare up to the heavens and displayed him to the gods. So the hare had already passed away. It already died in the fire. He's holding up to the gods. And he says, "Behold and rejoice at this astonishing deed, the heroic exploit of this great being. Today, at a time when most people, fools that they are, cannot give up even faded flowers without misgivings." You know, "Oh, you want these old flowers? I don't know. Maybe I could still use them."
Yeah.
"At this time when even fools that they are cannot give up even faded flowers without misgivings, this one, this hare, without hesitation, gave up his body as an offering of love to his guest. What a contrast between this animal body and the true loftiness of his self-sacrifice. Just looks like an animal body, we might think inferior, but the highness, the loftiness of his self-sacrifice was so much different. The clarity of his mind, indeed, he confounds all who are slow in striving to do good, gods as well as men. Sweet is the fragrance of a mind so dedicated to the practice of virtue. How well immersed in the practice of virtue he showed himself to be by this wonderful action. Then, in order to glorify that extraordinary event, having in mind the good of the world," you don't know this, "Shakra adorned the top of his own palace, which is called Vayayanta, and Sudharma, the palace of the gods, with the image of the hare." If you were to go to the god realm, there'd be like some medallion on there was shaped like the hair. And he also adorned the face of the moon with the same image. Now, do you see the hair? Do you see a shape of a rabbit in the moon?
No.
No? What's in the moon?
A man.
Man? What do we say in the West? What do we say?
It showed what all the different cultures saw on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
I think in India, they do see in the moon as a hair.
Right, you're right. Well, exactly. And so this is kind of like legend how that came about because of the sacrifice of this bodhisattva. What do we see in the
man?
We say the man in the moon. Actually, the book that you read, maybe I read the same book. It apparently depends on where you are. Latitude on the earth. Latitude or longitude? Longitude, I guess. Latitude. It depends on how far up and so forth, how the moon shaped in India, especially in that area. If you look carefully, you can kind of see the shape of a rabbit. And so in Indian poetry for, thousands of years, the one other name for the moon is the bearer of the rabbit. It comes in our Buddhist teachings sometimes. Has that come up sometime? So another name for the moon in poetry. What else do we call the moon in the West?
Cheese.
Cheese. Yeah. That hunk of cheese in the sky, you'd know that he's talking about the moon, right? And so he also adorned the face of the moon with the same image of the hair. Even today, at full moon, that image glows in the sky as a reflected object shines in a mirror. Since that time, Chandra, that's an Indian word for for moon, Chandra. Did you know that? The famous Tibetan Buddhist scholar called Chandrakirti, famous moon. Chandra is many names like that. Chandra is usual name, just directly moon, Chandra. It is also known as the ornament of the night. It's kind of nice. If we say that in English, if in poetry, the ornament of the night could mean the moon, it might be the stars also, right? And is also known one who opens the evening lotus. There's certain flowers. What is it? The Kamunda flower or something? Legend is only opens in the full moon night instead of when the sun comes out. It is also known as Shashanka, the one marked by the hair. So that's like in the Indian language, Sanskrit, that means the one marked by the hair. And the other three, the otter, the jackal, and the monkey, due to their closeness with such a holy friend, soon after disappeared from the earth and were reborn in the realm of the gods, as they had honored this guest so much. From this story, one can see how great beings, even in the form of beasts, practice giving in whatever way they can. Who then, as a man, as a human, man or woman, who then should not practice giving? Even the beasts are worshipped by the pious if their qualities are virtuous. Thus, one should be intent on virtue. I like that story. I don't know. Did you like that story?
Mm-hmm.
Was it frightening? I mean, the fact that he gave his body was a little bit frightening, but was it?
A little dark,
yeah. That's right. You have some sophisticated language. Monk George is a little dark in his humor, but we enjoy it nonetheless. Don't worry, I'm not answering my phone. I neglected to take any pictures of it, and I wanted to take a picture of you all. Wow. So sometimes people take a picture of the gang here. What's that? There's a young lady over there. And just a full shot here. Zoom enabled. No, I don't want Zoom. I want just right here. Sorry. Just to get an idea of the group here. Thank you. Sorry, indulging. So we just have just a couple minutes. I wonder if you have any questions that you'd like to ask, or any comments? Yes, sir. Wolfpack, What's your question? That's not your name, right?
No.
No.
It's on. Okay. Forgive my mind for being stuck in the past, but I just wanted to offer a different perspective on the moon.
Yes.
Because the stigmas associated with lunacy and all that.
Yeah.
Are a concern for me, but it's my understanding that also you could say it as irrationality is at its peak, and then one step removed from there, your intuition is strengthened with the full moon. And so in that way, I see it, for me personally,
yes,
as enhancing my practice in a way that maybe my visualizations are clearer and all that.
In fact, Buddhists do practice. So what I had mentioned before is on those days, the mind being maybe the more intuitive side comes out, but also, like say, for instance, when there's an eclipse, you know what an eclipse is, right? Do you guys know what an eclipse is? Yeah? Let's say a solar eclipse. That means the sun is being covered by the moon. The moon's position happens to be just covering the sun. And at that time, what was light, the birds, the animals, are just okay before that. And suddenly the moon covers the sun. And there, some fear can arise. So there's the downside of these things, the dark side, and like new moon, full moon. But also there's a very special side, because it's considered at that moment when there's an eclipse of the moon or the sun, His Holiness the Dalai Lama has mentioned many times, it's the best time to develop a special intuition, like bringing all of the energy into the heart chakra and generating the subtlest mind. So I agree with you. There's some, whenever there's something bad, there's always a good side of it.
I guess to clarify the words, is I wanted to find a way of explaining, and if you have words for this, there's a way to go with the current as well on the moon and use that irrational energy for practice,
yeah,
rather than fighting.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, in the practice of some of the esoteric practices of Buddhism, when like I say, that's the best time to, if you know what the word tummo means, to do tummo meditation and things like that. Okay. Good point. Okay.
Thanks.
Anyone else have any of the kids have a question? Any of you guys? No? You're happy? Okay. Anyone? Okay. So, good. It's 11:59. So I didn't go over. Let's see what my watch says. Oh, this says, did I go over? Oh, it actually says it's later than that. Oh, no, it's just 12:01, so I didn't take much of your time. But let's just do a very brief dedication of our merit that we've created this morning. We've heard some Jataka tales, maybe generated some virtuous thoughts. In whatever way these merits ripen in the future, they'll only ripen on us. May they be the cause of our continual practice of good heart, compassion, until we become Buddhas for the sake of all living beings. Dedication is kind of like making a strong promise, or you know, like if you got some money, you might hide it away somewhere for your college education or your retirement home. Kind of like making that dedication, that may these merits go for that goal. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here. Thanks, guys and gals.
George,
yes.
Can we take a moment for paraphrasing?
Yes. And I had not stopped early enough that we're going over, but okay, thank you. And that's on page
191.
So you heard the Lama Sopa Rinpoche had mentioned that to eliminate obstacles to the holding of the next lamp of the path or light of the path retreat, that all the centers around the world should recite the praises of the 21 Taras, so especially here.
Page 191, from your sublime abode at the Potala, O Tara, born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha,
action mother of the Buddhas of the three times.
Tara, please come with your attendant.
God's and human God. Spouse,
to your lotus feet, O Tara, you who rescue all who are destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. Oh, my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage, Tara, swift, heroic, as like lightning instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord of Fables, dearborn lotus. Homage, she whose face combines a hundred autumn moons at fullest, blazing with light rays resplendent as a thousand star collection. Homage, golden blue and lotus, waterborn in hand adorned, giving effort, calm austerities, patient meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tathagatas, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with her feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All Lord, Chakra, Agni, Brahma, Marut, honored by the host of spirits, corpse figures, Gandharvas, Yakshas. Homage, with her tray and page sounds, destroying false magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out right in, blazing in a raging fireplace. Homage, furry, very dreadful, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies. Homage, at the heart her fingers adorn her with regional mudra, light ray masters all excited, all directions wheels adorn her. Homage, she so joyous, radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, mirthful laughing with two Tare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all earth guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with her home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorned with crescent, moon all ornaments most shining, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out much light eternal. Homage, she mid wreath ablaze like eon ending fire abiding, precious left and joy surround you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage, she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, happy, virtuous, peaceful, she who still is peace nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing false bodies asunder, freeze with human knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters. Homage, courier with seed letter, of the shape of syllable, whom by foot stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya.
Homage,
holding in her hand the hammer moon of Deva lake form, with wise spoken Tara and Pei, totally dispelling poison. Homage, she whom gods and their kings and the kinnerers do honor, armored in all joyful splendor, she dispels bad dreams and conflicts. Homage, she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with wise Tara and Tutare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage, full of liberating power by the set of three natures, destroys hosts of spirits, yakshas, and raise corpses supreme to array. These praises with root mantras and prostrations, thus are 21. Now the prayer of the benefits on page 190. Whoever is endowed with devotion to the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering it at dawn upon waking and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be filled,
and all obstacles will be pacified. So as you noticed in one of the verses near the end here, it said, Homage, holding in her hand the hair-marked moon of Deva Lake Form.
Yes.
So, very nice. So when you recite that in the future, now you know where the hair came from. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.